Good evening, and welcome to the City of Morro Bay City Council meeting. We are at the Veterans Hall, 209 Surf Street. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019, 5:31 starting time, and seeing that we have a quorum of council members, I will call the meeting to order and ask for a moment of silence, please. Thank you, and Councilmember Addis, if you'd lead us in the pledge, I'd appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and welcome. Mr. City Attorney, do we have any closed session reports this evening?
No reportable action, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll move on to Mayor and Council Members' reports, starting with Council Member McPherson.
Goodness.
Surprised
okay.
You.
Yes, you did. Welcome, everyone. Good to see you all here. The only thing I wanted to mention is that this weekend is going to be the Kite Festival, the Soar into Morro Bay Kite Festival, the April 26th through the 28th at The Rock, and it's a wonderful family event, and it's free. So we hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. The only thing I have to say is I will do office hours this Saturday from 9 to 10 at Sun and Buns. So please, if you have anything you want to talk about, come on by and see me. Thank you.
Great. Council Member Addis.
Yeah, I want to tell the public thank you and our pro bono facilitator, Garrett Olson. Thank you for the goals meeting that we had last week. I think the public came out. We had a lot of good feedback from advisory boards, and staff did an excellent job, and I feel like we have a good direction that we're heading towards. And then Sunday, April 27th, as part of Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April, is the Rise Up and Rock at Slow Brew, and I am a contender to be the celebrity rocker. I think my competitor has maybe $20 more than me. So this is a pitch for donations that you can go to my Facebook at Dawn Addis City Council, and you'll see the link to donate there.
Well, you can't lose. No, you can't lose. So not with an announcement like that. Thank you. I have no announcements this evening, just other than to welcome you to tonight's City Council meeting. With that, we do have City Manager. Any reports from you, sir? Nothing. Seeing the head nod, no. We will move to presentations. We have two great recognitions today, or this evening. I should say it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month proclamation, as well as the National Foster Care Month proclamation. And if Council will join me down at the podium, we would like to call up Garrett Olson and Danielle Wheeler, RISE board members, followed by, after that presentation, Felipe Gonzalez, the San Luis Obispo County Program Review Specialist for the Foster Care Support Program. And so we'll start with RISE.
We should have come to you.
It's getting better every day.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you both.
I hope this will work. It's my pleasure to read a proclamation this evening for you. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay declaring April 2019 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every person in San Luis Obispo County. Whereas rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment harm our community, and statistics show that 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lives. And whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience a sexual assault before age 18. And youth ages 12 to 17 are 2.5 times as likely to be victims of sexual violence. And whereas our local student population is also at high risk, nationally, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 16 men are sexually assaulted during their time in college. That's an amazing statistic. Whereas last year, RISE received 1,469 crisis calls from members of our community, a 50% increase compared to 2017, and provided 6,627 days of emergency shelter. And whereas the number of RISE clients receiving counseling for sexual assault-related issues continues to increase every year, with a total of 1,335 hours of counseling provided at low or no cost to community members across the county last year. And whereas the theme of this year's Sexual Assault Awareness Month campaign is I Ask, which champions the message that asking for consent is a healthy, normal, and necessary part of everyday interactions. Whereas the city of Morro Bay joins RISE and other advocates and communities across the country in taking action to prevent sexual violence and acknowledges that every day of the year is an opportunity to create change for the future. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Morro Bay City Council does hereby proclaim April 2019 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Morro Bay, witnessed by my hand. Thank you. And you guys have a presentation. We'd, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you
so much for your work.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We're rooting for you.
Thank you. Would you hear me?
That would be great.
Thank you to Mayor Hedding and the City Council for this proclamation. My name is Danielle Wheeler, and I am a member of the RISE Board of Directors. And with me today is Garrett Olson, also a member of the RISE Board of Directors. RISE is a nonprofit that serves survivors of sexual and intimate partner violence and their loved ones. While we provide intimate partner violence services in the North County, we are the only agency dedicated to serving survivors of sexual assault or abuse and their families in the entire county of San Luis Obispo.
And last year, RISE served approximately 1,000 men, women, and children who were affected by sexual abuse or violence. And we've seen a huge increase in the demand for our services with the Me Too movement and people becoming aware of the resources to help them deal with wounds that sometimes are many years deep. Our crisis line, which is 24/7, has seen an astounding 50% increase in calls for service over the last year. And our wait list for therapy for survivors is an astounding 175 clients deep. And we're the people that you take that one in number and we focus on the one. And we're spending a lot of time getting services to that one in statistic. Those are people to all of us. Those are our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. This year we've developed a program that is proactive with regard to sexual assault and violence called Close to Home, which empowers community members to put an end to sexual violence. And our vision is to create a society that is free of sexual violence. And we're thrilled that Close to Home is empowering people to do that.
This year, we invite San Luis Obispo men, women, and children to attend our Sexual Assault Awareness Month event, Rise Up and Rock, a benefit concert to support survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. This event invites people of all ages to gather for an afternoon of music, food, drink for the whole family. All proceeds benefit RISE and our programs that support survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence and their loved ones.
So as celebrity rocker, Councilmember Addis mentioned the Rise Up and Rock will take place on April 27th at the Other Rock, at the Slow Brew Rock in San Luis Obispo. Tickets are a measly $25 for adults, $15 for students, and children under 12 are free. And it is fun for the whole family. This is a very, very heady conversation, but the event is going to be fun for the whole family and an opportunity for music and enjoyment. We hope to see everybody from Slo County come out, come support your pro bono consultant. We would love to have your support this year, and you can easily purchase tickets and find out more information on our website, which is riseslo.org. I'll let you close us out.
Yes, before I go, I would like to thank and acknowledge our staff, our volunteers, and the board of directors for all the hard work that they do in an effort to end sexual assault in our community. They are fully dedicated to their work, and I am honored to work with such a compassionate group of people. But most importantly, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is about honoring the victims, whether they've told their story or not. So thank you for joining us in raising awareness and destroying myths that make it difficult for survivors to talk about their experiences. Thank you again for this proclamation, and we hope you will rise up and rock with us at the end of the month.
Thank you again. Really appreciate it.
I just wanted to issue a challenge because, unfortunately, I will be out of town for the event and I will be unable to rise up and rock, but I have contributed to our rocker councilwoman, and I'm challenging the rest of council to match that contribution. So if you go on the website and you'll
go to the rise.org website.
Right, you'll see that contribution, and that's my challenge issued to you this evening. So thank you for the work that you do. And then our next presentation, come on up and welcome. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay recognizing May as National Foster Care Month. Whereas the City of Morro Bay recognizes the importance of providing children safe, healthy, loving homes when they are unable to remain in the home of their biological family, and whereas there are more than 430,000 children in the United States in foster care system, and whereas more than 60,000 children in California are in the foster care system, and whereas there are over 350 children, youth, and teenagers in the county of San Luis Obispo that are in the foster care system, and whereas to help these children have a healthy, loving, stable home environment where they can thrive and feel connected to a community that cares for them and to support the resource families that provide these critical homes, the City of Morro Bay is acknowledging National Foster Care Month to raise awareness about the need for more family resource family homes in our county and city for local children and join other organizations to celebrate resource families in our community. And whereas this effort, along with similar celebrations in all 50 states in the District of Columbia, will offer children the chance to live healthy, loving, and stable resource families when they cannot live with their birth families and encourage other dedicated individuals to make a powerful difference in the lives of a child through resource family care. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Morro Bay does hereby recognize as May as National Foster Care Month, and in doing so, urges all citizens to join in a national effort to raise awareness about the importance of foster care and resource family care, signed by my hand. And folks, thank you for the work that you do. I can just tell you, as a longtime foster care parent with my wife for over 20 years, what an amazing experience it is to be part of changing the lives of young people by providing that kind of stable, loving, and environment. So I appreciate the work that you do and would welcome any comments you would like to make this evening.
Thank you. Again, I thank you so much for allowing us here to receive this proclamation, but also to just share with all of Morro Bay who's watching tonight about the serious need in our community. At any given time, we have about 350 children, youth, and teenagers in care. These children are in care through no fault of their own and are often the victims of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. And when a child's living situation is deemed unsafe and there are no immediate family members that can care for a child, we really rely on our resource family homes, formerly known as foster family homes, to care for these children who deserve a safe, loving, and stable home environment. I've created a copy of a presentation for you today, and in the presentation, it details some local statistics. Now, there are 350 children in care, 17 of which come from our Morro Bay service area, which is Cayucas, Morro Bay, Los Osos, and Cambria. And unfortunately, one of the deficits that we are facing right now is a lack of resource family homes. Although we have 350 children in care, we only have about 120 active resource parents or resource families at any given time. This deficit creates difficulties when it comes to trying to find placements for large sibling groups, and the other demographic that's usually disproportionately affected are older youth in care, are teens and older school-age youth. Of those 17 youth in care, one of the additional traumas that they face is that, unfortunately, because of the lack of resource family homes, they are having to be placed outside of their communities of origin. That's one of the things we try to strive for the most, is trying to keep them in their home communities, keep them in the same schools whenever possible to reduce the amount of trauma that they have to endure. And right now, only about 24% of the youth that are removed from the Morro Bay service area can actually stay in the home communities. So that's about four youth. And to share a little bit, I could share a lot more details, but I would really love to share the perspective of a former resource parent and current adoptive parent. I'd like to introduce Cynthia Fletcher.
Thank you. So my husband Ted and I became foster parents 12 years ago, and I want to tell you a bit about our experience in hopes to open eyes to the realities in our community, the brokenness in families, and how foster parents can help. Our first placement came to us after being in a short-term home that specialized in taking care of babies born positive to drugs in their system. Little Lexi was born highly addicted to drugs. In fact, there was a possibility she even had AIDS. When she came to us, she wasn't rolling over or sitting up. Many thought she would never walk. Then we took in two boys from right here in Morro Bay, and they were left abandoned on a boat in the harbor. They had sunburnt blisters all over their body and had only underwear on. I remember one of the boys saying to my husband one night, "Mr. Ted, why is it you have everything in the world and I have nothing?" Well, it was pretty powerful as we realized we had just been complaining about something we didn't have. In his perspective, he was right. We had everything. Then we were asked to take a sibling group of three girls, as there were no other homes available to keep all three together. These girls came from severe abuse and neglect. Some were even trafficked, so mom could have money to survive. We fostered because our eyes were open to the harsh realities in our community. We saw the need for children to have an opportunity to learn what a healthy attachment looks like. Many say, "I can't do foster care because I would get too attached." Yeah, I get that. We got too attached every time because that's what Lexi and all the other kids needed. Attachment is what helps our kids heal and grow to become a healthy part of society. It's what helps our community's children break the cycle of abuse, neglect, and abandonment. Believe me, we are not the perfect parents. We didn't do everything right. And we need more imperfect people who are willing to get attached. As most homes are full, including ours, as we adopted Lexi and the three girls, we desperately need other homes. We need others who are willing to give these kids and families a chance to heal and to have healthy attachments. So would you help us reach out to our community with this need?
Thank you. And we've outlined in your information packets four ways that all elected officials can do to help raise the awareness for youth in foster care, from sharing media and content through social media and distributing publications about inspirational stories like Cynthia's, allowing for brochures and information materials to be displayed in city buildings, and lastly, just becoming an awareness advocate, which, Mayor, you are a great awareness advocate already, having served youth in care. But being able to also be open to creating video content that will help get the message out, not only to Morro Bay, but to the rest of our county. So again, we thank you so much for this proclamation, for allowing us to be here to speak with you all today. And we know that with cities like Morro Bay and other cities around our county, we can find a home for every youth in care. Thank you.
Thank you again. With that, we have our business spot. Welcome to one of my favorite people in the community. There are many favorites, but Rob Kitzman, if you'll come forward and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, why you are, and we're just happy to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You say that to everybody, probably. And City Council, thanks for the opportunity to speak on behalf of our company here at the Business Spotlight, our company, Kitzman's Culligan Water. I'd like to talk real quickly about who we are, what we do, and why does it matter. So we're a locally owned third-generation company here in Morro Bay. We have our local franchise for 60 years this year, our family. And there's 13 of us that work full-time. 12 of us are head of households. We service Los Osos to Ragged Point, just on the coast, which for a Culligan dealership or franchise is a pretty small territory. We're excited. We received the Morro Bay Business of the Year in 2018. We're really excited about that. And our company and family, we have very deep, long-standing connection here in this community. So what do? We provide better water for household and commercial use, soft water, filtered water, high-quality drinking water. Some of the benefits are things like saving soaps and cleansers by 80%, protecting skin and hair, plumbing and fixtures and water-using appliances can last up to 75% longer with soft water, using less energy to heat the water, all those kind of things. It keeps everything that water touches in the home cleaner. We also do high-quality drinking water. Consumer concerns of drinking water quality continue to grow nationally. We provide higher quality water for drinking and personal consumption that doesn't make economic sense to use for all of the household usage or out in, for irrigation and such. We have a number of products and services and literally have thousands of customers in the small territory. It's a personal source of fulfillment to provide a product that is great for the betterment of the customer's home and for their health, which leads me to the why, which is my favorite. Why does it matter? Our company mission is improving lives with better water. Everything we do should improve the life of the customer, the coworker, our employees, and the community. And we focus on this daily. Water quality improves lives more than just about any other factor in the human experience. We consider our community not just Morro Bay, but literally places all around the world. More than 2.5 million people around the world die every year unnecessarily from waterborne illness. We are committed as a company and as a family to bring 20,000 people safe water that currently don't have access. Our partner is an organization called World Concern, and we can provide a lifetime of safe water in a third world country for just $40. So $40 provides a lifetime of safe water for somebody in a third world country. So we're committed to being great stewards of the resources that we have, and we're grateful for those resources, including this community. So we're proud and grateful to be part of this wonderful and eclectic community called Morro Bay as we try to do our part to improve lives all around us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate you and all the work that you do, including the worldwide work that you guys are involved in. Thanks. With that, I'll open it up for general public comment. This is public comment for items either on the agenda for which you cannot stay or anything that you might want to bring forward to the City Council at this time. I'll open up general public comment. And welcome, Ms. Crawford.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council, City Staff. Keep it really brief. I just wanted to let everybody know. So in part of our 4MB business outreach and assistance program in partnership with the city, we do kind of community engagement once a month. So we'll be doing a business walk on Wednesday, May 1st, and we'll be holding a focus group after that the following week, May 8th, and that'll be held at Haven Realty. This is for the downtown core. So we're in downtown. We'll be in Quintana next month talking about the wayfinding signage and any other issues that might be coming up in that economic center right now. And I just wanted to kind of let you guys know, Amgen, Wednesday, May 15th, we were very excited and grateful to Samantha Pruitt, who is organizing the festival, the local festival, on that day from 12 to 5 on Main Street. So we, the Chamber and the Visitor Center, will be hosting a booth in the festival area where we'll provide visitor information and connections to Morro Bay businesses on a rotating basis. We're looking forward to it. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Erica. Appreciate that. General public comment is open. Welcome, Jan.
Surprise, I'm here every time, but I don't usually make comments. But I have a concern. It was almost 2 years ago the City Council agreed to allow the sales of medical marijuana in Morro Bay. And last November, the voters approved a tax rate for marijuana businesses. And then it seems like everything came to a screeching halt. And I've been to lots of conferences and meetings and stuff, and we talk about how the budget of Morro Bay is so lacking funds. And I'm thinking it's such an this medical marijuana tax seems like such an obvious source of income for the city. So there's been a lot of conversation regarding this shortfall, but it doesn't seem to be any push toward getting any of these permits, any of these companies permitted, and I would think that this should be a priority that the city should work on and get these businesses up and going. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate that. General public comment is open. Welcome, Bob.
Mayor, council members, staff, Morro Bay citizens. I wasn't going to make a public comment, but when I heard Rob Kitzman's business presentation, they are an outstanding company, very professional. You can trust them all the way to the moon. Anyway, because I know that because my kids went to school with Rob, so thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. General public comment is open for items either on the agenda that you can't stay for or any other items. Looking around, seeing no further activity. I'll close public comment, bring it back. Looks like we have only one comment to respond to. I'll turn it over to Mr. Collins for an update on the cannabis process and where we are, sir.
I think this question is going to come up in literally 2 minutes on the consent agenda where we talk about background checks, which we'll be able to provide context for how that fits into the global issue with getting these permits assigned.
So you'd like us to pull that item and then, okay. Okay, well, good. We'll wait for that and we'll make that happen. All right, then I will open up public comment for items on the consent agenda. Anybody wishing to come forward now for any item on the consent agenda? And welcome, Jane.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council and staff. My name's Jane Heath. I'm a resident and business owner in Morro Bay. I'm here tonight representing Bill Martini and Bernadette Pekarek, who are the upland owners of lease sites, which are the subject of the proposed request for proposal on your agenda as consent item A7. I furnished written comments regarding site 34W to council yesterday, and I've provided a copy of that to Ms. Swanson for the record. I won't repeat the points made in the written submission, but I want to make just a couple of statements. First of all, the landowners do not object to issuance of the RFP. In fact, they welcome it and they appreciate staff's hard work on it. When we were here the last time, the night of an extraordinary wind event, I reported to council and my client reiterated the poor condition of the pilings on 34W. It was later pointed out that in addition to the four rotting wooden pilings, that there are two newer steel sleeves on the water side of the docks. I want to be clear, there was no intent to mislead anyone concerning the conditions. The statements made reflected the concern that the docks are inadequately fastened, and that is my client's position, and that there is danger of them breaking loose, which is still true today. My clients request that council keep in mind these conditions when considering the submissions resulting from the RFP. The landowner, Bill Martini, is present here, is very familiar with the situation, and is certainly able to address any questions. If council has any, would be happy to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Public comment is open for items on the consent agenda. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, city staff. This is a comment on item 9. The request for the live scan permission via the California Department of Justice. Myself, my name is Sean Donahoe, and I'm one of the applicants for the medical cannabis storefront slots, along with my partners Michael Joseph and Rick Browse, so Slow Retail Group. I think I've mentioned before that we did receive the first license issued by the county for a delivery service off of Broad Street in the airport area, and it took a long time, actually, for that step, for the live scan process to go through. That delayed the county's process, where the county had to decide that the sheriff had to talk to the DOJ, and then the DOJ had to talk to the FBI. But ultimately, we did receive a clear federal and state criminal background check, but it obviously extended everything for a long time. I would note that when we resubmitted our application at the end of December, now almost 4 months ago, there was additional information that was provided regarding background check procedures, including criminal background checks, background status, credit card histories, a whole bunch of really intrusive things that I hadn't seen in other jurisdictions, and that was asked for 4 months ago in the resubmission of our application. So obviously the process is the process. We're patient. I think we've proved that we're patient, but obviously I think ourselves as well as members of the general public are curious for the update that's been promised. So that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Public comments open for items on the consent agenda. Anybody wishing to come forward, please do so at this time. Seeing nobody else willing to come forward. Oh, come on forward. I was close. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm here to announce an event. But first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Maria. I am in the group of ELAC meeting, which is an English Learning Advisory Committee. I am here to announce a fundraiser to give scholarships to students who are learning English. The event will take place in Morro Bay High School at the parking lot next to the pool. The fundraiser will be on May 3rd from 4 to 7. We also accept donations. On this event, we are going to be selling Mexican food, tacos, tamales, flautas, and more desserts to get this happened. And the tickets will be $7 each one, and I have tickets here also. If someone is interested in having some, I'll be outside. Thank you so much for letting me announce this event. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Maria. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Public comment is open for items on the consent agenda. Scanning the audience. I'll wait a little longer this time because just may find somebody that. Seeing none, I will bring it back to council. I'll either entertain a motion for approval, or if somebody would like to pull an item, and I'll go ahead and pull A9.
Yes, I would like to pull A9.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any others to pull? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval of A1 through A8.
I move approval of items A1 through A8.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Davis for approval of A1 through A8. Second by Councilmember McPherson. Any further discussion? If not, roll call vote.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1 with Councilmember Heller absent. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councilmember McPherson, I'll let you first cite why you wanted to pull A9, and then I'll add to that if it's different than what you
All right.
had in mind.
Very
yes,
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did send a list of questions to Chief Cox and our city manager, Scott Collins, and just got a series of answers today, but I think for the benefit of the public, I would like to ask some of these questions. So my first question really had to do with why we thought it was necessary to do additional background checks. I know that we have hired somebody that has done some initial vetting of the applications, and I was just wondering why we needed more information on the backgrounds of the applicants.
Just generally, and then I'll turn it over to our police chief, Jody Cox. Being that we're not the first on the bleeding edge, there's some benefits to our community and to the council and staff and being able to learn from the mistakes of other jurisdictions that have gone way out in front on this, some in our own county. And some of the benefits was being able to tour those facilities and talk with permitting staff in those communities. And one of the key considerations was around the background check, making sure you get that right, that you get people in who are going to be good operators and don't have checkered pass, if you will, and getting to the correct level of review to make that determination so that it doesn't come forward after the fact and then you're stuck with an operator you do not want to be in business with. So it was an extra level of review that we think is warranted, but I'll let the police chief explain a little bit more detail.
Yes, thank you. The level of the background investigation that we will conduct will give us a federal level background into criminal history. In the local and state level, all you get when you do a background investigation is the convictions. Going to a federal level investigation will give us prior investigations or things that they may have been involved in that did not lead to an actual conviction or cases that may still be pending. And we're not able to get any of that information without sending those prints through LifeScan to the Department of Justice, which then transfers them to FBI. I know there was a comment about other agencies that have done those investigations. Unfortunately, that's not the type of information that you can share with other agencies. So an agency, for example, Grover Beach, cannot provide us with the information that they did on a federal level background. So we cannot just call them up and say, hey, give me all the information on these people that you have already conducted backgrounds on. And as the city manager mentioned, we want to be very cautious as this industry is still growing and new. We want to make sure that we're doing very thorough reviews of the people that we're going to be into business with and that will be operating within the city.
Okay. Well, and the primary reason that I even asked questions about this item has to do with the impact on the timeline for granting the dispensary licenses. So if you could tell us how this extra step at this point in the process is going to impact, is it going to delay our ability to issue the dispensary permits?
We probably can issue, and we're looking into it a little bit, but we believe we can issue them conditionally if they're still in background, so we could proceed forward with you know, the two permits in that process, and that's not uncommon for other jurisdictions to pursue that course of action.
Okay, so can you tell us what the current timeline is for what's going to happen next and when we can expect to see dispensaries in Morro Bay?
Sure. We anticipate interviews transpiring mid-May. We have
The tentative date that we've identified where our cannabis review committee is available, which is comprised of your finance director, your fire chief, and police chief, is May 20th. And we anticipate conducting interviews of the six that made it through to round two of the process, at which point recommendations will come out of that body to your city manager, who will then be making the final decision on the last two.
Right. So we could issue shortly thereafter. Of course, the ultimate decision has been by council has been put in my lap, and so I obviously take that very seriously. I've had concerns from business owners downtown not wanting those to be placed downtown for real, you know, perception and other issues, and others that want them downtown. So it's a lot to consider. And again, treating it like an interview as you would hiring an important position in the city, fit is very important. They all, you know, present almost equally the same in their applications, but that doesn't tell the full story. That's why this interview process is extremely important. You know, some of them may have to do tenant improvements, so they might not be open on June 1st or whenever the decision is made. That's dependent upon, you know, that company and what they've put together.
Right, but you wouldn't assume that there would be further delays once you've had your committee met and you've done the interviews. It shouldn't take too long after that to come to some decision.
That's correct.
Yep. And so you would issue pending licenses, and then I'm assuming that this service that we would have, the live scan, would then apply to any employees that they hire in the future. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be correct.
Right. And we would be charging the dispensary for the cost of this service.
That's correct. It will be built in.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So, again, I'm just looking for a potential date certain on your process, Mr. Collins, and when you think you might be able, after you get the May 20th information, to make a decision.
I'm not going to put a date out there because I don't feel that's warranted without having opportunity to review them myself, but I do trust my staff. You selected a good committee to be the next level of review, so obviously I take their recommendations very seriously. And but again, this would be the decision you've put in my lap, and so I want to make sure it's a good one. So I don't want to rush to a decision. I want to make sure I feel comfortable with it personally and professionally. So hopefully within a couple weeks of the interviews, we'll be able to move forward.
Thank you. Further questions on A9?
No, I was just going to move. I was going to move that we approve item A9.
Second. Any further discussion? If not, roll call vote.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Did you second the motion?
I did second.
Okay,
yes. So, Councilmember McPherson, motion seconded by Mayor Heading.
Thank you, Councilmember McPherson.
Yes.
Councilmember Addis.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
And Mayor Heading.
Yes.
Motion carries 401.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for that report. And then I'm going to ask our esteemed city attorney to comment on the lease process raised by Ms. Heath that we've discussed previously. And is there a way forward for us to consider that as a council?
Mr. Mayor, the item that was on consent calendar had two aspects to it. It had an RFP, which council has approved, and then there's been some public comments, specifically from Attorney Heath, concerning possibly there being need for repair at the lease site. If there is a need for repair and the city were to enforce the lease and possibly take some sort of action, I would suggest the council consider those options in closed session, given that that's a potential litigation item.
So we would agendize that at the end of the meeting for a closed session if we so desired?
Yes, at the council's discretion.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate that. With that, that ends our consent agenda, and I'll move to the first item of business, item C-1. That is the Water Reclamation Facility, quarter three fiscal year, 2018-19 quarterly update. And Mr. Livick, Mr. Casares.
Sure. Eric's going to come up to the staff table here, and we'll get going on this in just a minute.
Changing of the guard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. This is an item that updates you on the status of our water reclamation facility project and details out the financials, albeit probably a little bit more verbose than was requested at the meeting. We will strive to pare this item down in future meetings. I think our presentation hits the highlights, and that may be the future update, what you'll see in the presentation. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Caceres here.
Thank you, Rob. Mr. Mayor, Council, staff, Eric Caceres, Coral Engineers, the city's program manager for the Water Reclamation Facility Project. Thank you for having me here tonight to talk about item C1, which is our Q3 fiscal year 18-19 quarterly update. So in terms of what we're recommending here tonight, we'd like you to receive the quarterly update report and then provide input on what elements of this particular report you would like to see brought back on a monthly basis. So at our meeting at the council meeting on February 26th, I presented information about the upcoming monthly and quarterly reporting that we were going to be doing as part of our program management effort, and you provided some input. So I wanted to go over some of the things that we heard at that February 26th meeting before I jump into the quarterly report specifics. So one of the items that we brought to you was a couple of example reports, and we talked about things that would be in the monthly and quarterly reports that were of significance. Those were some of the key metrics in terms of cost, schedule, and then some project-specific activities. We also talked about the frequency of reports, and that was detailed as well in our scope of work that was brought to council earlier in the year in terms of we will be providing monthly reports to council and then a more robust quarterly report, as you've seen now for Q3, as well as annual reports that we'll be doing, mostly for the funding agencies that we anticipate will be providing the funds for the project. In terms of audience, we have a number of different folks that we want these reports to be relevant to, first and foremost council and then the public and then the various funding agencies, as I mentioned. So we're trying to come up with something that can kind of fit into and can speak to all those different audiences. One of the things that we showed during that presentation was key performance indicators. We talked a little bit about KPIs and specific KPIs that we would have for our project, and we presented this dashboard concept. We also presented a number of graphics that, while the quarterly report did not have as many graphics as we had hoped, I'll talk a little bit about what we anticipate for upcoming monthly reports. And then we received a wealth of input from council during that meeting. And some of the key items that we heard from you in general were that we wanted the quarterly update to be more robust than the monthly updates. And the monthly updates would be pared down from what was presented on a quarterly basis. The word executive summary was used several times in terms of the level of information that that you wanted to be provided on a monthly basis. Reliance on graphics and visuals was something, and tables, that was something that was made mention of, and there was a lot of emphasis put on that. Key accomplishments and challenges was another item, another element that you wanted to see on a monthly basis. And then the dashboard concept, as we mentioned previously, showing some of these KPIs or these key performance indicators. At a very high level, you could see how the project was performing to those KPIs. And then in terms of technical information, things like budget to actual and cash flow and reimbursements from some of the funding agencies, those are some of the other elements that were specifically highlighted. So in terms of the monthly report components, I'm going to speak to essentially the quarterly report that we previously provided in the staff report. I've kind of pared that down to give what I would presume would be presented on a monthly basis. So the things from the quarterly report, based on the feedback that we received on February 26th, that would then come back to you on a monthly basis. Again, the larger report would come back on a quarterly basis. So in terms of some of the key challenges and some of the key accomplishments we've had over the last month, in terms of the general program, we've been moving forward with the permitting of different elements of the project. Specifically, we've been working on initiating the consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office. In terms of some of the challenges, we've had some schedule challenges most recently with the decision to move the Coastal Commission hearing for the consolidated permit to the July meeting versus the May meeting. That's one of the things that has impacted schedule. On the water reclamation facility component specifically, we have been working very closely with our partners on the DB team on a number of what we call PCOs, or potential change orders, that we'll be bringing to both WRF, CAC, and Council here in the next month. These are items that we've identified that we would like to either add or take away from the existing DB project that was in the agreement that was negotiated with the Philance Black and Beach team back in October, November of last year. And so that's been a primary focus on what we've been doing on the water reclamation facility proper over the last several months. In terms of the conveyance facilities, we've been moving forward and advancing the 60% design as much as possible. We have had some challenges in terms of doing some of the field investigation work that we need to do to move that 60% design forward, in dealing with some of the property owners or properties that we need to access to do that work. That's something that's been slowing us down a little bit. That's a process that we're currently working through. In terms of the recycled water component of the job, the injection wells, you may have seen in the quarterly report, we allude to the recent draft report that we received from GSI. That details some of the initial findings about the impacts of injection and extraction on the water quality within the Lower Morro Groundwater Basin, and that report, draft report, is available on the city's website. So another thing that we wanted to highlight there. In terms of the dashboard and the key performance indicators, I'll direct you to a couple of the of the most important ones. It's at the very top line. As everyone knows, the budget for this project is $126 million. That budget was set back last summer. It's a precursor to the development of the rates and the Prop 218 process. What we have committed to on the program management side is, on a quarterly basis, we do a deep dive into the budget and re-look at the budget. So on a monthly basis, we're tracking the actual expenditures to our budget, but every quarter, we get in and do a good hard look at the budget and modify things as needed to adjust the budget. Based on our recent Q3 budget modification, we're currently anticipating that we would end the project at a total expenditure of approximately $124.5 million, so below the $126 million budget. And then we also have identified how the different cost elements for the project break down according to that original $126 million budget. One of the things that you'll notice is the conveyance facilities and the recycled water facilities. You'll notice that one of those has gone up significantly and one of them has decreased significantly. And that is a result of the decision earlier this year to take components out of the recycled water project and actually include them as part of the conveyance facilities project, mainly the potable reuse pipeline that's going to be taking the purified water from the new water reclamation facility to the injection fields. That component of the project is now considered part of the conveyance facilities project for how we're designing, and we're going to be procuring the construction for that element of the project. Some of the other KPIs that we've identified based on discussions with staff and some of the input we've received from folks are we'll be tracking the number of feet, linear feet of the pipeline that's been installed as another KPI, as well as tracking how close we're getting to our February 28, 2023 ultimate compliance deadline from the regional board. In terms of current expenditure information, as I mentioned, the current budget for the project, or the tracking the budget, is approximately $124.5 million, and you can see in this table here our actual expenditures to date. So going back to March of 2012, we've expended approximately $8.5 million in total on the project. We have about $75 million in active contracts that we're currently managing. In terms of what's been expended on those, that $75 million contracts, that information is provided there in the presentation. One of the things you may note that's different from the quarterly report that you received in the staff report and what you've received here in this presentation is that was meant to be a percentage. The actual dollar values are what was originally presented, so it's been updated in this in this presentation. And then the total project cost, again, that's what we're tracking, and we're anticipating we will hit at the end of project, which is 124.5. And then how much of that total $124.5 million have they expended to date? The next graphic up here has to do with the cumulative cash flow, or excuse me, cumulative expenditures versus budget for the project. The red line is the cumulative baseline budget that we developed back in the summer of last year, again, to support the rate study. That was $126 million and was based on several previous years of budget and then how we laid out the remaining budget to get to the $126 million. The gray is the actual cumulative expenditures that we've expended on the project to date. That's the gray line there at the bottom. The continuation of that gray line, the blue line, is our revised cumulative budget. That's what we anticipate the forecasted cumulative expenditures will be between now and the end of the project. And then the orange bar graphs are the are meant to be the monthly actual expenditures. We are tracking monthly actual expenditures as of January of 2019, and we'll be doing that and comparing that to what we've actually forecasted on a monthly basis between now and the end of the project. The schedule is presented up here, and I will note that we are going to be making some changes to the formatting of the schedule. So the challenge here is that we have a 530-line project schedule that we're currently managing, and getting that in a format that's digestible and usable for the folks that are looking at it. I know it's a little bit hard to make out here, so that's a little bit of a work in progress. But the key date that I wanted to draw your attention to is the November 11th of 2021. Based on our current schedule, that's when we were anticipating that we would be in compliance with the time schedule order based on the latest schedule. That ties to the substantial completion date for the water reclamation facility. In addition to the Gantt chart schedule, we also provided a, based on feedback that we received from council back in February, these are the key construction milestones that we're anticipating. Again, we haven't started construction on any component of the project, so it's a little bit, there's a little bit lacking here in this table, but this shows the anticipated start of construction and the end of construction for the three different main components of the project, and then always with an eye to the February 28th, 2023 date in terms of our overall compliance. I wanted to mention some upcoming improvements, so some things that may change in the monthly report and the quarterly report, and these are currently a work in progress. We use a program called Power BI that's a Microsoft-based application that pulls information from our SharePoint, where we actively track all the cost information for the project to produce these graphics. These graphics are going to be available on the website and will also be featured in the monthly and quarterly reports going forward. They, like I said, they're a work in progress. We need about another week to get these up and correctly pulling all the information that they need to from SharePoint. Just a couple different examples of what you will see in the future. This second slide here shows the invoiced amount per month for the individual commitments or the individual consultant contracts we're currently managing. Again, our recommendation here this evening is that you receive the existing, the current quarterly report and provide any input on the information I just presented that would show up in the future monthly reports. With that, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Casares. Appreciate that update. And with that, I'll open it up for council questions. Who would like to start us off? Looking at that.
Well, I'll start with one or two, and everybody else can chime in when they have questions. Just going back to actually looking at the data in the report, can you tell me what the impact is of the challenges that you have now identified for us? What is the impact of that on the schedule? Is that going to slow us down by how much?
So the original schedule, really the big impact right now is the start of construction for the design-build team. So we need to have the coastal development permits in hand, as well as some information back from the funding agencies in terms of their environmental review before we can start construction. So we had originally anticipated when we negotiated the contract with the DB team that we would issue a notice to proceed for the construction April 29th of this year, so just in a couple days here. That was when we were planning to go to Coastal Commission in April. Then that slid to May, and now that it's slid to July, we're currently anticipating a notice to proceed for construction the first week of August. So that pushes back construction, and we're working with the DB team currently to finalize what those impacts will look like. But as you'll notice, even with that slip to the August 9th NTP, or August, I think it's August 8th in the schedule NTP date, we're still showing substantial completion with the project and conformance with the time schedule order well ahead of the 2023 deadline.
So I'm assuming that all aspects of the project cannot proceed until we actually get the permit and until we've actually complied with all of the funding sources requirements. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we cannot start any construction out of the conveyance, what can we do in the meantime? We can issue contracts for design.
Absolutely. So we're still proceeding down the same path that we were before the permit pushed out. So we're in the design build process. So while we're not going to start construction as early as we had hoped, we've continued to move forward with the design. And so we're working towards the 60% design of the water reclamation facility currently. And then on the conveyance side, we have the designer there procured. And so we're working with them very similar timeline. We're moving towards a 60% design. As I mentioned previously, that's being held up a little bit by being able to access a couple of the properties that we need to in order to complete our surveying and geotech, but we're working through that and a number of conversations here as of late with some of those property owners to get access there.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and then the hydrogeology work that everybody has been very focused on has continued to move forward. As I mentioned, we have a draft document on the website for the phase one work. Trying to figure out with all the things that we want to bring back to council here in the next couple of meetings when that's going to fall. But we do have that draft report available that has the results from GSI's work, and then we're actively working to move phase two forward, which is the planning and construction of the pilot wells and then running the pilot wells and getting the data from that.
And all of that information would be contained in this report in the future?
Yes.
Right. Would you like to share what happened this morning, which is a key milestone, I guess?
Yes. So the staff... county planning staff, who we've been working with for the last year, typically make the determination in terms of if a permit is going to be a coastal development permit will be consolidated through the Coastal Commission, because of the nature of this project, coastal staff deferred that decision to the Board of Supervisors. And so this morning at the Board of Supervisors meeting, there was an item put on consent for the board to take action regarding consolidation of the permit. and that passed, and the city will be moving forward with a consolidated coastal development permit for the project.
So we're still on track.
So we still are on track for July, and we've gotten some assurances from Coastal Commission staff as much as they can that it is very important for the coastal commissioners at this time that issues be taken care of close to home, and so they have there's a lot of reason for them to keep us on the agenda for July.
Right. And in between now and July, is the public going to have another opportunity to comment? Because as soon as you submit the permit to the Coastal Commission, will there be another opportunity for the public to comment on that?
Yes, that was discussed this morning about having another public meeting to gain additional input.
Okay, thank you. And I've had some members of the public suggest to me that we don't have a budget for this project. Could you just explain? We know that we have a budget, but can you explain why it's still an estimate until certain things are done? That it's a good estimate, but it's a budget. But just explain that so that the public can understand what the budget looks like that we're currently operating on.
Yeah, absolutely. So our first foray into budget for the project started back right when we got on board in April, May of last year, as a result of receiving the proposals from the design build team, again, we had a lot of additional information for us to be able to refine what was the $167 million budget that then became the $150 million, that is now the $126 million budget. We were able to, we developed a budget which got us to the $126 million. That budget was detailed and was broken down by fiscal year. All of that information was necessary for Bartle Wells to be able to do their rate calculations and do their rate study. So we've got that $126 million budget, and as I mentioned, on a quarterly basis, we go and we review that budget. And this quarter specifically, we went through and looked at what had been expended to date, all of our outstanding contracts, the estimated additional monies that we were going to need to complete the project based on our existing estimates, and we're currently tracking at the $124.5 million. And we've broken that out by fiscal year for the remainder of the project, and that information will be coming back to council as part of the city's overall budget that will be presented at the next meeting in May.
And so we'll be tracking that now on a monthly, quarterly, annually, and the public can see it on the website.
They'll be able to see it through the Power BI graphics that we had just talked about on the website, and all that information will be detailed in the individual monthly and quarterly reports.
Okay, thank you.
Just want to add something to that, just to remind public and council that council has adopted the capital project budget with their adoption of last year's budget operating capital budget. That budget was also the input to the rate study. So that budget has been approved for about a year now that we are operating under. These further refinements give more output to our performance against the budget, but the budget was adopted with the rate analysis.
Right, and the rate analysis, we included the necessary improvements to the infrastructure, to existing infrastructure.
Correct.
Yep. Okay, thank you. That's
all. Great, thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Thank you. I want to say that I really like this format that you've done for the quarterly. It has all the information I need, with with one exception. When you list the challenges, I wonder if it would be appropriate to also say what steps you are taking to meet those challenges and what you think the likely outcome will be of those steps. And then I just have a definition. There's mention of a crosswalk document, and I wonder what that is.
Yes, That's a good question. So the crosswalk document, and I think it came up in a meeting maybe a couple months ago. Each individual funding agency typically has a technical document that they need that outlines the technical nature, the components of the project. And so the city has the recycled water feasibility study that was done in draft form back in 2017. The crosswalk document is essentially a companion document to that recycled water feasibility study that tells the funding agency exactly where to look in that document to find the information that they specifically need. So this particular crosswalk document is for the Bureau of Reclamation for their mm-hmm. Title 16 grant opportunity that we're waiting to come out. And so they will list in their application, here is all the information that we're looking for. And so rather than develop a brand new memo, we can give them an existing memo and we can say, okay, your answer to question number 3, you go to section 2.4 under the third paragraph, and that'll give you the information that you're looking for. And so that is the kind of the definition of the crosswalk document.
Okay. Thanks.
And in this instance, we're specifically referencing the crosswalk document that we developed for the Title 16 grant.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Great. Councilmember Addis.
Well, thank you for your time on this. And I know I sent you my comments. I would agree that this is great for a quarterly update. On a monthly basis, and I don't mean to minimize the importance of the wealth of information that surrounds the WERF, but on a monthly basis, I think there's 3 key questions, and that is the project on budget? If not, why not? And how will that be fixed? Is the project on schedule? If not, why not? And how will that be fixed? And then what are the upcoming daily life disruptors? And so what can the public expect? And what would the public want to know about on a monthly basis that might disrupt their day-to-day business, for instance, traffic disruptions? And then I would love to see just a link to the website for people who want more detailed information. I think it would be really helpful, especially for folks that are new to the project, to be able to have that quick view of are we on time, are we on budget, and how is it going to affect me today as I move about town. But I want to reiterate that I appreciate the level of detail for a quarterly report, and having it simplified does not mean that I don't appreciate the work that you've done or the importance of all of the information.
Thank you. So, Councilmember Addis, I did receive your questions or your comments and questions, so we'll take those into account. And then, things like right now the quarterly report is a bit of a skeleton because we can't fill out all of the details because we don't have everything into construction. And so as these projects move into construction, these are going to become much more interesting. For example, we have a section on upcoming traffic control, upcoming lane closures, and those kinds of things. So we will be highlighting those on a monthly basis so people know what to expect. Because I think those are probably going to be the most, in terms of impacts to the community's daily happenings, that's going to be the key one. So.
Good. Okay, thank you. Thanks again, Eric. Appreciate the information and the quarterly report. Couple of questions for you from my standpoint. Have we heard yet with regard to the SRF loan? And if not, potentially, do we have a date when that may be coming forward? I think I ask hourly, probably.
As you mentioned,
I apologize.
I'm fighting the urge to look at my phone and check.
I thought that.
So we originally we had been hearing over the last several months that. The very beginning of April is when we were going to hear, and as recently as Friday, we heard from the state that they were going to be releasing the fundability list this week. They said Tuesday, if not Tuesday, by the end of the week. So Tuesday is almost come and gone, and so
yes.
We haven't heard anything yet. So we should hear any day.
And how will we announce that if indeed we are selected or deselected?
We had talked about potentially a press release, or we could also, we're working on updates to the project website, and so hopefully we should have those up and running very soon, so that's another avenue that we could have to announce.
We,
We would also put our press release under our hot topics on our city's website, so it would go off to those folks that subscribe to that list. I just checked the Department of Water Resource, or excuse me, State Board's website. No updates on the intended use plan as of yet.
Got it. Thank you. Can you give me an update on, or us an update on land acquisition and where we are with regard to that? And if you want to tie that, I also have a question about the LAFCO process and where we are with that.
Absolutely. So a couple of things, and then I can let Rob elaborate on these things a little bit. We're currently working on getting the appraisal completed. Rob and a number of other folks from the city were out meeting with the representative from the property owners and the appraiser a couple of weeks ago. So that process is ongoing. We are finalizing kind of the boundaries of the property. So not looking at changing the area at all, but looking at moving the boundaries to best fit the city's needs in terms of how that site will lay out. So we're currently finalizing that to get that back to the property owner and the appraiser. In terms of LAFCO applications, we've been working on two separate LAFCO applications, one specifically for the annexation of the property, and then the other one for the petition for the sphere of influence. And internally, we should have drafts of those applications for city staff to review as early as tomorrow. So we're moving that process forward as quickly as we can.
Great, thanks for that update. Page 77 on the staff report, part of your quarterly report. Let me get there. Could you just clarify item 1.4, general program management costs? It appears to be red. My sense is it might be green. Was that restated and part of the slide? I couldn't quite read the slide.
One of the things that I did notice, and I'm looking for some direction from council here on this, is I took a look at the different indicators for the different columns, green, yellow, and red. I think it may be more appropriate to make the green in terms of budget if the project is on or below budget would be green. Yellow would be within 5% of budget, and then red would be within 10% of budget. That's I was looking at that. That was pointed out by a member of CFAC that had received the report that actually a couple of those should be red because we're still not more than 5% under budget. So that was one of the things that I had updated. And then the general program, that says general program management costs, and that column is going to be updated to general program costs. That's not just program management. There's a lot of other things that go into that. For example, the environmental work that we're doing, the additional environmental work that we're doing, the work that ESA is doing. We've got additional work being done by our archaeologists Far Western and some other folks that fall under that general program category. But all that information will be available. The details of that will be available with our Power BI information about what exactly is in that general program bucket.
Just not to belabor it, but on that current document that we have that we received in our packet, the target is 11.47 for 1.4. The current is 10.2. That's really a minus 10.98%, and that should be green according to the existing report. Am I correct?
Because
it's below budget.
Thank you for also bringing that up. Those numbers should be transposed a little bit. The target budget, the original budget, was 10.2. That's now tracking at 11.5. It's actually an increase of about 9.5%. That's what you'll see in your packet. So that number has gone up. And again, that includes some of the changes that we've made recently, some of the additional environmental work we've needed to do, and some other things.
Thanks for the clarification. I just didn't want to let that stand in the report.
Thank you for that. That was that was an error on our part.
No worries. And then a quick comment on the next public process for engagement. I know that Councilmember McPherson talked about it, but when we have the addendum to the EIR coming back, that will be a formal public hearing or a public opportunity for comment on that? What's the process for that? And maybe I'll turn to our city attorney for that.
That's yet to be determined whether or not it would be a public hearing. It depends upon the extent of the addendum, and the consultant hasn't fully analyzed how extensive it will be, so we don't know at this point.
Okay. Nonetheless, it would be brought back, and if at the least, there would be public comment opportunities from the public.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Great. And got a email from the adjacent landowner just today or yesterday, I believe, and wondering if you've had contact again recently. He's raised some concerns, wondering what the follow-up might be for those concerns that have been raised.
Mr. Livick and I met with Mr. Mano several weeks ago and talked to him about some of his concerns. We don't yet have plans to. We don't have a plan to go out and meet with him again. We will put together a plan and go out and meet with him and talk about some of his concerns. As I understand it, his concerns centered primarily around how that facility is going to operate and the general who's going to be in and who's going to be out of the facility, how many people are going to be at the facility at any given day. I've talked with Mr. Miller, the utilities manager, about also going out and meeting with Mr. Mano to talk to him about the specifics of the day in and day out operation of the facility once it's constructed.
Two other issues that he did raise, and just as a reminder, consideration for a barbed wire fencing around the work site because of his cattle operation. He leases land adjacent to that. The other issue was consideration for fencing along his property line as the project progresses, and I just wanted to make sure that there would be follow through on addressing those issues. Specifically, and you can just say yes.
Yes, and we'll work
if there or no.
We'll work with the property owner on their desires for fencing on their property.
Great, thank you, and barbed wire. Thank you. All right. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Rob, I understand that the EPA will not fund the project. They won't disperse their funds until we raise the rest of the funds, which we assume we're going to do with the SRF. So if we are not successful in getting SRF funding, then we have to get bond funding for the 51%. Is that correct?
Sure. We would have to provide an additional source of funding. Not being a charter city, there's a little nuance to that. We would issue certificates of participation instead of bonds. I see them as synonymous in my head, but there is some differences to that. We'll have to form a local nonprofit that would issue that certificate of participation, which would be the city council. You would put on a different hat for that meeting, and basically we would guarantee that asset against the certificates of participation. It's kind of a nuanced way, since we're not a charter city and don't have the ability to issue municipal bonds outright. So
does that mean
in effect it's the same thing as bonds? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, maybe Mr. Neumeier is going to correct me, but we sell a certificate to a somebody that wants to invest in our project for a return on that investment interest, and we get the money, they get the interest through the payment of those back of those certificates.
And is that something that can happen fairly quickly?
Their office is working on the formation of the nonprofit as we speak, their bond counsel at their offices.
Okay, so we could still meet our construction date.
Yes. That okay. Nonprofit is required for both WIFIA or if we were to do certificates of participation, because EPA has the ability to sell that loan, much like your bank might sell your mortgage.
Yep. So the five of us then would pledge our assets to back up the certificates.
Not your personal assets, the assets of the water reclamation facility project.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. No further questions, then I'll open it up for public comment on agenda item C-1. Any member of the public wishing to come forward and make comments regarding this agenda item, the floor is open. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Bill Martini, Morro Bay. And it's just more just a quick question. When I was looking at the charts over there, I noticed that the WRF, the wastewater treatment plant, was budgeted for $67.5 million, and I noticed that the overall budget's come down $1.5 million. But I don't know if I read the graph wrong or not, but it showed $67 million, and then it showed $77. Has that increased from $67.5 million to $77 million, or did I read the graph wrong? Because when it was displayed, it showed $67.5 million, and then after. So I may have misinterpreted it, but I would just...
Go ahead, yeah. Eric, can you just go ahead and respond?
So that's a good question. Sure. So the contract value is currently set at $67 million. As we've noted here in this meeting and in previous meetings, we've been negotiating some potential changes to the contract that will not become part of the contract until council takes action on those changes. But we've moved about $2.5 million additional into the budget there to cover some of those potential changes as we are budgeting at this point in time. Again, we're not going to change the agreement until this comes to council. But that is correct. The current budget for the water reclamation facility component of the project is a total of roughly $79 million. Of that, we have the $67 million, and we have other costs that are non-construction costs related to the construction. And we're holding the $2.5 million as a potential change for the actual GMP contract.
Okay. Yes. Public comment is still open. Bob, welcome back.
Bob Keller, Morro Bay, Mayor, City Council members, staff, Morro Bay citizens. Just heard, is the WIFIA loan in jeopardy with a change of our water rates and sewer rates? Because I think we'll be concerned about that. But otherwise, Mr. Project Manager, I think we're going in the right direction. But you got to be tough on your negotiations so we can keep our cost down and can reduce them as much as we can, you know. And also keep working on funding because we have to look through every crack and every possible way to get more funding so to keep our rates down. Let's see what else I have. Yeah, negotiate with due diligence to our citizens of Morro Bay. And do everything possible to keep our budget under budget for this project, because that's what we're looking for. Otherwise, we're all ready to go. Request council to accept a report by our project manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Public comment is still open on item C1. Any further members of the public? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to council. This is a basically opportunity for discussion. Significant input was given at the February 26th meeting, as Mr. Cazares outlined, regarding the quarterly versus the monthly report. In addition to that, council had suggested that we put on a consent agenda unless there were some major issues. Monthly report and then bring the full quarterly report to council. That's the direction we've received. In addition, you've heard some comments. We've received a new format, graphics that we had requested previously be incorporated into the shorter format, but I'll open it up for any further discussion or comments that council may have.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I concur with my fellow council members on their suggestions. I agree that we should explain any what we're going to do about anything that might be a problem. And I also agree with Ms. Addit's her comments. Those are the three key questions that we want answered in the monthly report. What I would like to see added is when there's any kind of a strange, like, discrepancy, which you show in your project dashboard, where you actually moved money from one category to another, and therefore you have one category going over and one going under, to just explain that in a footnote so we can understand why that happened, and then we won't wonder.
Absolutely.
It's anything like that where it needs some further explanation so that we can understand the report. And then also in the quarterly report, since there are a number of acronyms, it would be very helpful if we had just a list of what all of those stand for so that we don't have to continually search back to see what a BOD whatever is, or if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something that we had noted in previous discussions.
So right.
We will have an abbreviations list with the monthly and with the quarterly.
That would be very helpful for those of us that aren't engineers. So those are my additional comments. Thank you. But otherwise, I really appreciate the report. I think that the quarterly report contains all of the information that we would need on this project, and it's very detailed, and so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other discussion comments? No? None? Great. So it looks like hopefully you've received adequate direction. This is a receive and offer a further direction. We've got, I think, enough information now for the quarterly and monthly reports. And I, too, would like to add my thanks to staff for a very comprehensive report. And we'll receive this as noted and filed. Thank you. That ends item C2. We'll move on to C3. I'm going to ask council if you would consider postponing this item. Moving to C3. C2, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. C2, options to enhance communication, and maybe I need to work on that, huh? To enhance communication and engagement with the community. That was agendized by Council Member Heller. Specifically requested that. He's out ill this evening, and I think it would be appropriate for him to be here for that presentation and weigh in on that. So with your permission, Council, we will re-agendize this at the next meeting and have that presentation then. Is that seeing heads nod? And so that we'll skip C2. If that's appropriate, Mr. City Attorney, just moving that to the next agenda.
Yes.
Do you need a motion for that?
No.
Thank you. That moves us to item C3, approval of capital budget fund reallocation of $21,000 to repave the alleyway between Tognazzini's restaurant and Santa Monica Seafood Commercial Fishing Dock. Our esteemed harbor director, Mr. Andersby.
Thank you, Mayor Hanning, and good evening. I apologize, I've got a little bit of a head cold, so I'll try and get through it without putting too much moisture on my materials here. So we're recommending the City Council approve reallocation of $21,000 from an ice machine capital project and approved fund in the capital program. And this year, due to the operating fund to enable us to pave a seriously degraded section of roadway between Tognazzini's Dockside Restaurant and the Santa Monica Seafood Commercial Fishing Dock and that runs through between Krill's there as well. As far as alternatives go, council could always direct staff to go elsewhere for the funding, although we've worked with finance to try and identify a place that won't affect any other budget, or council could direct not to do the project at all. The $21,000 ultimately come, like all of our projects, from the Harbor Accumulation Fund. Again, it's the ice machine capital project. We budgeted $35,000 for that machine. Quick bit of background, the responsibility for maintaining that machine is shared by the city and Santa Monica Seafood. Santa Monica Seafood, per their lease, is required to put 10% of their revenues from their ice sales towards the machine, and anything above the 10% of sales requirement, the city augments with their funding. In recent years, those amounts have been pretty high because the machine has been fairly persnickety and required a lot of work. But this year it has not. It's actually, we've gotten a $100,000 grant, Santa Monica Seafood, through Santa Monica Seafood in the, from the cable company to do a major replacement of some equipment on that machine. So, and speaking to Santa Monica Seafood, their costs this year have been fairly minimal, so that $35,000, fortunately, isn't needed. I am keeping about $14,000 of it aside. We'll need about $10,000 to complete the big grant program replacement. So the $14,000 that will be left should be ample to keep that fund sufficiently funded to do the rest of that project. So moving $21,000 over to do this paving project. That alleyway serves not only Santa Monica Seafood and the backside of Togganzini's restaurant, but also Krill's and Morro Bay Landing, and really it's an important piece of transportation infrastructure. And since it serves the ice machine, there's a nexus with the original funding intent, which was to repair the ice machine itself. So good nexus there. Why isn't Public Works paving this, you might ask? Well, it seems that alley isn't really a street. It's not a parking lot. It's not a lease site. It seems to be kind of a no man's land that been working with Public Works and trying to figure out how to get a project in place. Actually, earlier in the year, we had looked at doing a cost share where Public Works would throw in the manpower and we'd buy some asphalt, but really the volume of work that needs to be done to really do that property is kind of beyond both of our scopes. So we started looking for alternative ways of doing it and came up with just going to contractors and getting some bids, which we have done. If you've been through there, it's pretty badly in need of repair. It's a public tripping hazard. Unfortunately, with the boardwalk kind of ending in front of Morro Bay Landing and starting up again down in front of the power plant intake building, there's sort of that no man's land of walkway that everybody just wanders through the parking lot and through that alleyway. So getting it fixed is not only important for all the work at the seafood dock and Togganzini's and the forklifts and trying to keep things going there. It turns into a big water pool in the wintertime when there's rain and when there's fish unloading. So we really need to get that fixed, and it seemed that bringing in a paving contractor was the best way to do it, where they'll come basically from the Morro Bay Landing side to the south, where there's a good seam over in front of Togganzini's, where there's another good seam, and they'll repave the whole area in between and get it all filled in from curb to curb and hopefully correct the drainage, because there's a big low spot in there, and get all the bumps and lumps out of it. So we sought quotes from three different paving contractors, got two quotes back. It's under the threshold for formal bidding. The low quote was $19,940. I think my second quote, only other quote was, I want to say $21,000 or $22,000 at prevailing wage rates. And so we're recommending approval of this reallocation of this funding so we can get this paved and make the world a smoother place in that area.
That would be a nice thing, wouldn't it? Appreciate that staff report. With that, I'll open it up for council questions. Looking to my left, Councilmember Davis, any questions on this?
I have no questions, thank you.
Councilmember Addis.
I don't have any questions.
Councilmember McPherson.
Well, I just have one question. exactly whose lease site is that property on, just out of curiosity?
It's not on any lease site.
It's not on any lease site.
It's not on any designated lease site. The Togganzini's restaurant, the main one, ends basically at the little walkway that's behind on the west side of their building. Santa Monica Seafood basically starts at the wood where the wharf is. And like I said, it's sort of a no man's land.
Literally no man's land.
It's literally no man's land.
Okay. So I guess it's the city's.
It's harbor man's land.
Harbor man's land. All right. Thank you.
And I have no questions. With that, I'll open it up for comment. Public comment, item C3. Public comment is now open. Any member from the public wishing to comment on that, please come forward. Mark, welcome.
Evening. Mark Togganzini, Togganzini's Dockside Restaurant, and I'd like to see you approve it tonight. I've mainly so Eric can quit listening to me. I've been asking them to pave that for 16 years. We've had a lease there for 16 years. We have a brand new forklift we bought a year and a half ago, and I cannot put it on that back there without tearing it apart. So it's undercover. It's been undercover for a year and a half waiting for this to happen. It's also a tripping hazard. I've seen people go down there, and it's just a matter of time that $21,000 will seem nothing compared to what someone might sue the city for, because it's terrible back there. So I hope tonight you follow Eric's direction and approve paving that, and so we can move forward, and he can quit listening to me about that. Thank you.
About that. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Public comment is open. Bob, welcome back. Again?
Bob Keller, Morro Bay, Mayor, Council Members, Staff, Morro Bay Citizens. I didn't expect to talk, make three public comments tonight. I was just going to be a listener. But I support Mark Tagazzini. I walked through that area, and I almost tripped. And I was wondering when they were going to do something with that section. And I think it's long overdue, and when the city should do this, because we have some good folks down there, with some good restaurants and service. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Public comment is still open. Item C3. Anybody else for public comment? Looking not. I'll bring it back to council and entertain a motion.
I move to approve reallocation of $21,000 from the Harbor Ice Machine Maintenance Capital Project Fund to the Harbor Operating Fund as outlined in this report to enable repaving of a critical section of alleyway between Tognazzini's restaurant and the Santa Monica Seafood Commercial Fish Unloading Dock.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Davis for staff report recommendation, second by Councilmember McPherson. Any further discussion? Not. I will call a question.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
Great. That brings us to item number C-4. This is introduction and first reading of ordinance number 622, authorizing an amendment to the California Public Employees Retirement System contract to implement cost sharing for local police members in the Morro Bay Peace Officers Association. And I'm going to open up and entertain a motion if I could.
I'll move.
Okay. Moving the staff report. Recommendation? Moving the staff recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll move to introduce it. Do you want me to?
Why don't you just read the recommendation?
Yeah. To introduce for the first reading by title only, that part? I need the thing.
Sure, point out there. Yeah.
All right. We don't need a second?
You will after you read the first.
All right. This whole paragraph, yeah.
Yeah.
That City Council introduced for first reading by title only and waive further reading ordinance number 622, authorizing an amendment to the contract between the City of Morro Bay and the Board of Administration of the California Public Employees Retirement System, CalPERS, implementing Section 20516, employees sharing additional cost to provide employee cost sharing of 1% for local police members in the Morro Bay Peace Officers Association, MBPOA, for fiscal year 2018-19, FY 2018-19.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Addis, second by Councilmember Davis for the staff recommendation. That I'll open it up for public comment. Before we vote on the motion, any member of the public wishing to come forward on item C4, do so now, please. Seeing no one coming forward, waiting. I'll close public comment, bring it back, and unless there's any discussion.
Absolutely. I just had a question,
yes,
if I can ask a question.
Certainly may. Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. I just wanted, and this is more for the public's benefit, can you explain how the city incurs an additional cost if the employees are actually contributing more to the city's portion of the retirement because there is a cost estimate? Just to explain how that happens.
The additional 1% of the employer's cost is based on the base salary. They would not pay 1% on any overtime or other benefits that would be calculated based on their salary. So there is an additional cost that the city picks up, but it's about 1/3 is our estimate.
Okay. So is it partly because it's a result that they're also getting an additional 1% COLA, so
correct,
it's a trade?
Correct.
Is that, I just wanted to verify that I'm understanding this correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
It's
all right,
a
thank
net
you.
Net, right?
No, it isn't net. That's the
point. Not exactly.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to just understand. So thank you. Thank you.
Good.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, we do have a motion and a second. A roll call vote, please. Motion by Councilmember
Addis.
Addis.
Yes. Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson.
Yes.
And Mayor Heading.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0-1.
That ends this evening's business. Move to item D, Council Declaration of Future Agenda Items. I will ask for concurrence to consider Lease Side 34W in a closed session as recommended by City Attorney. We can get some support for looking at that issue.
Sure.
Yes, okay. So that's any others? Seeing none, we will adjourn. The next regular meeting of the Morro Bay City Council will be held on Tuesday, May 14th, 2019 at 5:30 p.m. The Veterans Hall, located at 209 Sur Street, Morro Bay, California. Thank you and good evening.